The update brought to you by Applied Innovation. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Look, it wasn't perfect, but last night the Detroit Lions got a win, and it could be an important win when it's all said and done as they pocket a tiebreaker against the LA Rams. And that is certainly something that could be useful later in the year as the Lions, again, not perfect. And I had a strange feeling of confidence all throughout the game, even when they blew the lead, even when the Rams had the football and a chance to run out the clock. My mentality, my state of mind as it pertains to this Lions team right now, Scott, is what is about to go right? What is about to go right? How are they going to make the play? Who's going to make the play? More so than what is about to go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, for most of that game, I'm watching the defense and excited about the defense on the field because I wanted to see how the secondary was going to look. And I thought the secondary looked pretty good. Now, people can look at a stat sheet and see that, well, the Rams threw for 317 yards in the game, but they threw the ball 49 times, and you start to peel the onion back a little bit. They kept a lot of it in front of them. There were a couple plays that got a little squirrely, the 63-yarder with two defenders had a chance to make the play right as soon as he caught it, missed it, and then the receiver takes up field, and you get a collision of three Lions in the secondary that collide with each other as he's running past him. So that was unfortunate that the play went as long as it did. But beyond that, there were only a couple other plays that were like, oh, yeah, come on, where are you? You know, and they played pretty well. You know, did you notice this too on the field? I don't know if they didn't really say too much about on the broadcast, but a lot of slipping.
Yeah. There was, it's funny. We were talking about this pre-show and whether or not there was, did they overdo the rubber pellets?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, the touchdown pass that the Rams had where Carlton Davis slipped twice, you know, once when he's, was it Cooper Kupp that caught it? And he goes into motion. When he goes motion the other way, Davis is following it and he slips initially and then tries to catch up, and he slips again. You had to play the big 63-yard play where the two defenders are right there, but they, you know, good job by Johnson to stop on a dime, but Lions players just seemed to slip, and there were slippage from the Rams as well. It just seemed like, is that a problem?
Yeah, Gibbs slipped on one that he could have scored on. Yep. St. Brown slipped on one where he had to turn into a defensive back.
And spiked it down. Good job by him.
I was wondering the same thing, Gator. Too much rubber tire pellets or just what's going on out there, man?
That's a question for Rod Wood.
Blame Rod Wood. We went from celebrating Rod Wood.
It's a question. I'm not blaming. I'm just a question. Do we need to look at making sure the field's better?
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Doug. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Doug.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
All right. So my champ, because he came into the season unproven, I think it's the Lions kicker. He kicked three. They were chip shots for their field goals, but he still made them. Made it under pressure with no time, basically, on the clock, 17 seconds. And he made his extra points. I mean, you know what? He was unproven, and I thought he did a great job for the Lions last night. And just, the linemen did what they had to do on that last drive for the winning drive. But you know what? The kicker should get a big pat on the back. I thought he did a great job for the Lions, and nobody said anything about him. I like him.
And we mentioned him a little bit earlier, but I will say this. If he makes all the shorties and bombs enough long ones, that's exactly what we need. And that was a pressure kick. Yeah. It's the kind of kick that every NFL kicker should make. But, you know, and it might be a low bar, but he has to prove that he can be consistent from, you know, inside of 40, maybe inside of 50, and then make enough of the long ones, and then you're just fine.
Yep, I agree. So I liked it. I was there last night. It was crazy down there. Yeah. We had a great time. We got down there early. It was a great evening for my wife and I. And then I'd say the chump is the Michigan defense. I was very disappointed. You know, they got to do a better job. Granted, there Texas, I think, is pretty darn good. But Michigan's defense put no pressure on him at all, and they just did not come up with any big plays at all when they needed them. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Thank you for the phone call. Look, the defense was on the field way too much, and if I'm going to fault them early in that game, because the offense, when the offense goes three and out and you get right back out there, but they're giving up long drives, they would win on first down. win on second down, and be in an advantageous position and could not get off the field. And you know, the Quinn Ewers is really, really good and does a great job moving around in the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield, running when necessary. And, you know, they have to address, was it A, the wrong play calls, like defensively, did they do things wrong from a philosophical standpoint? Maybe it's just, you know, Quinn Ewers is way better than them, but they really, that was disappointing. The third down conversion rate for Texas in the first half was very disappointing.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the defensive line. Graham and Grant were kind of non-factors there. They had half a tackle for loss, then it was Mason Graham's. Beyond that, they had four tackles between them, and they weren't getting the push that I was expecting to see. And look, credit to Texas. Texas is a really good football team, might be the best team in the country, but I thought Michigan's defensive line was supposed to be the best defensive line in the country, and it didn't play like it.
Texas up front had, you know, 130 starts from their O-line. They got an All-American at left tackle, and they've got pretty good center. And their right tackle was a right tackle, right guard. They had penalty.
Well, and Michigan's got three likely first-round picks in their defense.
Yep, and I thought that was going to be a great battle, and they didn't do enough. 248-539-9797. Ricardo is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ricardo.
Hey there, Doug. How you doing, Gator?
Good. What's Ricardo?
Up? Hey, man, what a nice game last night. Good win for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, there were some things, you know, it looked as though the Lions were slowing up there a little bit in the middle of the game, but I thought it was just an attest to what Dan Campbell said, that these guys are different this year. You know, they were getting that ball out at one-step, two-step drops, and you know, and that's why we wasn't getting it that much pressure from that defensive line, I thought, last night. I saw it, man. They were getting the ball out before these guys can even come off the ball. And what I did like is that the secondary kept these guys in front of them the whole time. You know what I mean? So, and then offensively, I thought, they double-teamed. If you look at some of that film, they double-teamed LaPorta and I'm all night long, man. And this is one of the reasons I thought, you know, JMO got open last night. And they only targeted those guys about four or five times last night. So it wasn't like they played bad, you know, LaPorta or Amrati.
LaPorta and St. Brown got targeted a total of 11 times between them, and JMO got targeted 9 times. And it was enough. Jamison Williams was making plays every time he touched the football.
You know, we've used the term, there's a lot of mouths to feed, and I'm sure that there are going to be days where those numbers are inverted, where Amon-Ra gets 9, 10 targets and J-Mo doesn't get as many.
This might be the low total of passing attempts in the game for the season. They had 28. You know, I would expect that they're going to have plenty of games where they have in the 40s for pass attempts, and probably at average sits somewhere in the mid-30s.
248-539-9797. Phil is next on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I just had an observation from the game last night.
Phil.
And it was, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Just near the end of the first half when Jahmyr Gibbs scored that touchdown, and I feel like in the past, the refs in the NFL would have found a way to rob us of that touchdown by either not reviewing it or saying his head was down and then realizing the next day that that didn't matter and there would have been a new football rule or something. But I just feel like there's a difference between the respect we get now and the respect we got then.
Yeah, you still had a feeling of doom, huh? Like something was going to go wrong.
Yeah, just that they would have somehow found a way to take that away from us.
It's interesting. I didn't have any of that, and I don't know why it is. I suppose it's not completely unnatural to think, you know, how are we going to get screwed here? I just, that whole narrative for me is just gone. I'm just thinking, who's going to make the play? That's where I am. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think we saw it all last year, that they were presented with adversity and they overcame the adversity. Yep. Adversity almost every time, with the exception of the San Francisco game. You know, there were times the Lions just got flat out beat, right? Baltimore flat out embarrassed the Lions last year. We saw the Lions lose to Green Bay. Green Bay played a great game against the Lions last year. That's going to happen. But the individual plays that would have destroyed Lions in the past, that is a thing of the past.
Yeah.